you ought to come to church like that right there. Look, running. Now that's all right. Don't wear the giraffe hat while I'm preaching. Guys, turn, if you would, in your scripture to 1 Peter. We'll be back in chapter 1. Great fitting verses. This ties in our In the Wild and looking forward to planting this seed, this wonderful salvation, into children's life. Contemplating Salvation is the title of this message today. And we're continuing on in our study as we preach through the book of 1 Peter. Great handbook for Christian living is the theme of this book. And just the idea of contemplating our salvation. And we entered into 1 Peter and into this section. It's probably one that's not shown a lot of attention, but it really connects to last week's message where we were talking about the inexpressible joy inexpressible and full of glory, and how he was talking about our salvation. He's writing to this church that's under persecution, and how it is that we can get our focus off the temporal and on the eternal, and how we can get through the moments and the hardships and the things that come in our life that we all have to deal with. And in our digging deeper last week, and we actually started in Philippians in our Sunday school class, and we were talking about joy, and we were talking about the difference between happiness and joy. If I asked you, and I was talking, asked our Sunday school class, what makes you happy? What makes you happy? What would be a good day for you? And a lot of, you start out, well, not having to go to work, having a day off, right? And what does that look like? Maybe sleeping in a little longer, or what am I going to do today? Is that a good day? Is that what makes a good day to you? What makes you happy? What is it? And I like Grant. Grant said, nothing breaks down. Praise the Lord, that is a good day, ain't it? Nothing breaks down. Everything runs. All the vehicles, all these utilities that we have, everything runs. And what is it that makes us happy? What is a happy day for you? The difference between happiness often stems, it's all about circumstances, is it not? If the car doesn't break down, if everything runs, I'm happy. Or I think Wayne, it was said, you don't have to put up with the crazy people. How many of you know there's plenty of crazies out there, okay? And sometimes I'm one of them. But no, listen, there's plenty of crazy people that you run in, and if you have to deal with the public, then I know sometimes it makes you sour against the people that you have to put up with, the ones that you work with. What makes a good day? I want you to understand that happiness is different than joy. Happiness is stems on situations, these things, but joy comes from the Lord. Joy is from not who or what's going on, it's whose you are. It's not about a something, but it's a someone. And that's what Peter, he's talking to him. He's telling him, now listen, you're going through this hardship. You're going through these things, but don't get your focus off of the something. Put it on someone and what he's done and your hope in the future. And that's where we're at, where he's talking about how it's going to make a difference in your life. I had a good day yesterday. 28 years that she's been married to me. I think it was Lee. Yeah, give her. She's not here, so I can talk about it. Listen. I got up this morning saying, you know what I said? And I'm a morning person, and she hates it because I come bounce. I'm one of those that bounces out of bed in the morning. Working on 29, baby. Working on, we're starting on 29 today. She mumbled something, and I probably. I told Lee, when we get to heaven, it's going to be, and Sandy Cooper, come on down and receive the crown of life. She's the winner of the biggest one because she had to put up with me, okay? But I love that woman, I do. She makes me happy. Other than Jesus Christ, she does it for me, okay? She makes me happy, and it's a wonderful life that we have. But I want you to understand that it wasn't based on just that relationship, but it's based on Jesus Christ. And we have this thing that when we want to kill each other, we can't, because in Jesus' name we're not supposed to, okay? Seriously, listen, there's something to get excited about when you have Christ and you have life and you have abundant life and you have salvation. And I was telling our Sunday school class today that we're saints.
Now, you might not feel like a saint, but we're called that all throughout the Scripture. Saints. It's not a saint because of your goodness and what you have done. You're a saint because of what He has done. And Christ in you, the hope of glory, makes you a saint. Set apart. Separated from the world for Christ. And that's where he's just contemplating this salvation. I want us to look at 1 Peter 1, and we'll be reading 10 through 12. And take your scripture. I pray that you have your scripture. If you don't, electronically, you can do it on your phone. There might be a pew Bible in front of you. Just take your scripture so that we can open it. We're going to stand to our feet to reverence God's Word. And that you can see that I'm preaching to you, thus says the Word of God. Not an agenda, not what my opinion is, but what does the Word of God say? And so, 1 Peter today in 10, starting with 10 through 12. And it says this, listen. Peter says, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that will come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Of them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, dear God, that you'll touch our lives. Meet us right where we are with your word today for your glory. In Christ's name and all God's people said, you may be seated. So I want us to think when we're contemplating salvation, to begin with, think about salvation. Look at 10a when it says, of this salvation, and he's spoken back, he's referring back to what we were talking about our study last week. When we think about, if I asked you, think about your salvation, what comes to mind? What jumps into your mind? Think about your salvation. Would it be fire insurance? Is it blessing? Is it a relationship? When we think about our salvation, what comes to mind? Is it freedom? Is it forgiveness? Think about our salvation. Love to sons and daughters. Conversion. Transformation. Think about your salvation this morning. What he's trying to emphasize here and what he's been emphasizing in the previous verses are glory. This glory that comes through suffering, this glory that comes through this salvation, this glory that works, that we daily work out through our salvation, that's leading up to one day, this personal sanctification that's leading up to one day glorification face to face with Jesus Christ in heaven. And Peter's trying to encourage them with them, and we've been delivered from sin. Salvation is being delivered from sin. And you heard me say many times, delivered from sin and self. Myself and my sin and the power of sin in my life. Do you know I still have this wrestling match with my flesh that goes on all the time? But in Christ, I have the power to overcome this sin. One day when I'm glorified, I'll be delivered from the presence of sin and fallenness. But until then, Paul's telling us, hey, this joy comes from this understanding. And when we think about our salvation, that we have this strength in the Lord. How many times do we hear in Scripture, the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. It's our strength. I love when Jesus is in Matthew chapter 11 and he's speaking about how God revealed the truths of his word he was speaking about these religious leaders, but he revealed it to babes, little children. And it brought him joy that God, that the Holy Spirit had come and had revealed. Aren't you glad that we have God's Word? There was a time that you were not able to possess one of these and hold it in your hand. And men and women died and gave their life. And through the Spirit of God, sola scriptoria, that nothing, it's Scripture alone, and that every person was a priest. And the priesthood of the saints, and that we all deserve God's Word. Aren't you glad that you can hold God's Word in your hand, that you can read God's Word, that you can listen to God's Word? Never take that for granted. Peter's telling them, listen, you have this joy of understanding this. This has been revealed, Jesus said, to the little children, the truth that salvation comes from God alone. Because I want us to think, when we think about that, think about the Old Testament, salvation in the Old Testament. You say, well, what are you talking about? The Old Testament confirms that we need to be saved. All through Scripture, we see that God, He chooses and He picks out, oh, Abraham, for Ur of the Chaldeans, a pagan worshiper. It wasn't that he was doing such good, but God chose him out of all people. And He said, from you is going to be this lineage that comes to the Jews. Why? Because man needed salvation. This group that He even tells Abraham, He said, your children are going to be in Egypt, in this foreign land one day, and they're going to live there, but I'm going to rescue them and bring them out. Why? Because we needed salvation. And then He goes to Mount Sinai when the children come out of Egypt and leads them through the desert, and He brings them to Sinai and He gives them the law. This is what I expect of you as my children. Why? Because we needed salvation. Why? We're born into sin. We're born, each and every one of us, everybody that's drawing a breath here in this room is born into sin. And without Jesus, there's no salvation. There's no, and so God had this plan from the very beginning. I like Isaiah 43:11, one of the Old Testament prophets. Even I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. There's no other way. Please understand, in a world that tells you it's politically correct to say everybody's going to heaven if they believe this way, I want you to understand that is not biblical. It sounds really good. But listen, sounding really good and lining up with the truth might be two different things, and you need to understand that that's what it is. There's only one way, only one God, only one road. And you know what the Scripture says, that road that leads there is narrow, and few find it. The other way is broad, and it's full of destruction, and many there are on it. So listen, we can't sit back and be good old boys in the South, and it's none of our business. It is your business if people are plunging to go into hell, stepping right over the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're letting them go because we don't want to bother them. It's our place that we reach out in love, not in condemnation, not wagging a finger, but out in love and say, listen, let me tell you about a Savior that saved me. Because it's about salvation in the Old Testament. We needed a Savior. Not just salvation from something, but salvation or someone, and that being God. We needed a relationship with God because our sin had separated us from a holy God. God had made it perfect. And He gave man that choice of obedience. And man chose sin. And from then on, sin was ushered in. We messed it up, okay? We did. God didn't. So don't try to blame God. You might be blaming God for something this morning. Listen, God is not to blame. He made it all good. We chose sin. We brought evil into the world. We brought brokenness into the world. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. And so the Old Testament tells us that. Listen, Isaiah 49 says this. Indeed, 49:6. Indeed, He says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribe of Jacob and to restore and preserve ones of Israel? I will also give you as a light to the Gentile that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. See, He chose Abraham to raise up a nation to represent His light. But you know what it was for? Everyone, look in this room. There might be a couple of Jews. I don't know if you are. Blessed be the Lord. But most of us are pig-eating Gentiles, okay? I'm serious. We will be tonight. We eat barbecue tonight, all right? Listen, don't ever get over that. Romans 11 says we were grafted in the wild olive branch. We wild. Think about wild. The Scriptures. When we look at us and the statements that we have, we were grafted in because I want you to know it's not just Old Testament. We'll look more at this, but think about salvation in the New Testament. It won't be long. And you say it's a long time, but it won't be long. We'll be celebrating the birth of our Savior. You remember? remember Gabriel comes there in Matthew chapter 1. He comes to Joseph because Joseph, what? He's going to put Mary away, a young virgin that they were betrothed to be married together. And she's with child. She's with child. And so he's thinking about putting her away as many of us would. But the angel comes and says, fear not. Don't to take her, because what she's conceived of is of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Matthew 1:21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph, it's the Savior's on the way. That in the Old Testament, which we knew we needed saving from our sins, he's coming. Jesus is going to be born. He's going to be born to Mary. Can you imagine that? Shall call his name Jesus. That wonderful name. Boy, that causes a lot of controversy today, don't it? That name. Jesus means Savior. Savior's coming. Why? Because we needed salvation. We needed salvation. God's wrath rests upon the children of disobedience. His wrath rests upon those that are sinful and separated from him. But in Jesus, that wrath can be appeased because he gave his life on the cross, on Calvary, and took our sin, our punishment upon him, that when we place our trust in him, listen, that we can receive forgiveness for our sin. He died on that cross, and they buried him in a tomb, but he rose the third day, that anybody, any man, boy, girl, man, woman, child, boy and girl, that if they place their trust in him, receive forgiveness for their sin. Salvation to their souls. That's what all this is about. Come on. It's not about decorating and entertaining kids, although that can be a part of it. It's about planting the seeds of the gospel in men and women and boys and girls. Why? Because they need Jesus. And that's why we expend ourselves this week. We expend ourselves because is it not worthy? Is it not worthy? If you could just plant the seeds. And I'm going to tell you, we don't chalk it up. We don't scare. You could scare every one of them into making a profession of faith in Jesus. Talking to them about hell and all that. We don't do that. We love them. And we show them Christ. And we plant the seed of the gospel in their little hearts. And we let God do the harvest. And you understand, because it's not about chalking up. Woo! It's about glory unto a Savior. And planting a seed in their little life. And that's what's successful. At the end of the week, if we did that, praise be unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation in the New Testament was about, listen, there's none righteous, but there in Romans 3, it talks about, but now righteousness has been made known. What the law couldn't do, listen, God gave them the law on Sinai, but we could never adhere to it. They tried to use it, but they could not adhere to his commandments. Why? We needed a Savior. Now there's a new righteousness that's been revealed and been made known. It's called the righteousness of Christ. You can't, but he can. Come on. Don't you let me get excited on my own. You can't, but he can. Listen, if you're struggling today, if you're struggling this morning, if you're trying to make things right in your mind, you're trying to reconcile the worries of this world, you're concerned and all these things, and you're trying to figure it out, you cannot figure it out without Jesus. And he stands and he waits. He said, all those who labor and are heavy laden, come to me, and I'll give you rest. I want you to know something. There's no rest like Jesus. No rest. Oh, I tell you, there's a lot of fun out there in sin, but it don't bring you rest. It don't bring you peace. In fact, it'll keep you longing for the next high. It'll keep you longing for the next thrill. It'll keep you longing for the next relationship. But nothing but Jesus brings peace to our soul. Why? Because we needed salvation. Think about Peter saying, listen, if you're going through these hard times, just think about your salvation this morning. Think about what Jesus has done. We experience salvation now, but there's also a not yet aspect to it. You see, I was saved February 28, 1990. God saved me and delivered me. from then on, I've been walking in this sanctification and become more Christ-like daily. Is it a struggle? You better believe it in this old world. But one day, I'll make it home because of what Christ has done. I'll make it home, and that salvation will be complete when I'm in the presence of Jesus Christ, and He's glorified through that salvation that He started February 28, 1990. Listen, get a hold of that today. Don't let this world suck the life out of you. Yes, it's waiting on you when you walk outside of these doors, but you have something that exceeds the here and now. It's called Jesus in eternity and eternal life. And if you don't have that, it's waiting for you this morning. Waiting on you. Because we need to think about our salvation. What do you think about? To contemplating the things, if you want to promote joy in your life, think about the salvation and what Christ has done for you. An eternal joy that transcends our circumstances. His name's Christ. Think about salvation, but next, delight in salvation. Look at 10b through 12a. The prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or for what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Peter's now describing this joy unspeakable and full of joy or inexpressible that I think he said in verse 8, inexpressible joy. Why? Because firstly, it's greater than the prophets. What does he say? The Old Testament saints that spoke of the grace coming to you, they spoke into their own age. They spoke to the people, but you know what it says? He said, but they were looking past that to us. I was at Suba's last night, took my honey out, went up to Mountain City. Great place to eat if you never eat there. Great place to celebrate 28 years. There was an older gentleman sitting over there, and he had his veteran hat on. And I always try to make it a point to say, thank you. Thank you for serving our country. You know what he said? I did it for you. I couldn't eat for a little bit. I'm serious. I've never had that response. I did it for you. I thought, dear Lord, the weight of that, I did it for you. Jesus did it for us. These prophets testified, it says right here in the scriptures, they did it for us. That in 2019, you could draw strength from this word. It's not out of date. It's not antiquated. It speaks in us right now. It's done for you. Goodness, don't get over that. Delight in this salvation. The Old Testament spoke of a coming grace. They spoke in their own age, but they were looking past it. They were looking to the Christ that was to come. You live in that wonderful age right now between the two comings. He's came. He gave His life, but He's coming again. I don't know about you, but I'm getting the goodie up here, man. Woo! I don't even have a handkerchief. Somebody get me a napkin before I get snotty. Yeah, I got one right here. Whew. That's all right. I'm going to have a good time. Hold on a minute. Amen, preacher. That's good stuff. All right. You help yourself, young man. I'll never forget that. I done it for you. But it was like, that idea, the weight of that, and I thought about it in my salvation, and Jesus and what He's done for us, and how, you know, what have we done with it? What have we done with our salvation that He's given to us? And so we delight in that. It's greater than the prophets. They spoke, and we live in such a privileged age. You say, what's so privileged about this age? Well, it looks like it waxed worse and worse. Listen, Jesus has come. That which they look forward to, look down through the time zones, waiting on Him to come. It says they searched the Scripture. When He would come, they didn't know. They just knew He was coming. And we know that He's came, and He's coming again. And we have His Word. We have the complete canon of of Scripture. You live in that day. What a privileged day that we live in. Listen, these are the last days. You say, how do you know that? Because when Jesus said it's finished, that ushered in the last days. Now, however long it is, I don't know. You've heard me say that before. But we're living in those last days. But what a privilege to live in such an exciting time. And the prophets looked forward to that. It was greater than them and what they testified because we saw it and we know what's getting ready to happen. They didn't have this completed word. We know the rest of the story, if you're a Paul Harvey fan. We know how it ends. My goodness. Read it. That's right. Read it. You want joy, unspeakable, and full of glory? Read His word. Find that hope in Christ. Delight in that salvation. Romans 8 says, we can call Him Abba Father. We have something they didn't understand, a personal relationship with the living God through Christ the Son. That we can call Him Abba Father. Delight in that, folks. Delight in what they had, the Lord granted repentance to us Gentiles. We are now part of that, as I talked about. We are engrafted in now. We are saints of God, children of God, because of what Christ has done. No longer was it set apart for one nation, but that nation was the light to the Gentiles. That we live in that time of grace now, that grace goes out and it saves those outside this door, okay? Or right here in this room. Whoever needs it, the grace is available, and the time of grace is. Do not gamble with grace. Do not take it for granted. Why? It's limited, the time of grace. If He speaks to your heart, He speaks to your heart. Oh, my goodness, I remember thinking, I need to get this right. I need to quit doing that. And I realized, man, you can't. If you could do it, why did Christ need to come? You can't, but He can. You lay down your garbage and your mess at His feet. He'll make a masterpiece and a message out of it. You just lay it down and quit trying to figure it out. And that's because why? It was greater than the prophets, but also look, it was greater than their message, what they prophesied. You say, what are you talking about? God ministering through them personally. What a tremendous idea to think about. They were the Word of God. I just get the privilege of preaching the Word of God. They were His mouthpiece. But what they spoke about was only a distant understanding. Look, it says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was an indication when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory what would follow. You know what? They just had a little understanding of this thing that was going to happen. Well, you've had it completely played out now. And we're just waiting on Him to return. They spoke of it and did not understand it, the ultimate fulfillment that we would have, that we have in Christ today. His sufferings and His glory. What a tremendous day that you have. And you have been chosen. God's chosen you to live in this time, in this wonderful, fantastic time. And they didn't know how He'd be born, how He'd grow up, how He'd be suffer, how He'd resurrect. They didn't have just this vague understanding of these things. They could write about it, but they don't understand what you can understand today through His Spirit and through His Word. You have everything that you need today. Let me ask you this. If you're not saved, what are you waiting on? You have it all. You have everything, the Holy Spirit of God. If He pricks your heart, don't put it off. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Quit trying to fool in your mind that Satan comes and tries to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to try to pick the seed that's been planted. Don't let him. The Gentiles would come into the kingdom. They didn't have a clue. Here we are, Todd, North Carolina, July 21st, 2019. They had no clue. And here we are. Part of the lineage passed on to Christ, the children of God, as we wait and we go forward, we march in His name, as we pass the baton on, if Christ tarries, to the next generation, as we teach them about the things of God, as we live the things of God in front of them. They had no clue. Can you imagine they could see? Here we are, Todd, North Carolina, 2019. They didn't have a clue. They just knew a kind of overview, an umbrella, if you please. Here we are. We're living in a great time. Everyone must turn from whatever allegiance it is other than the allegiance to Jesus Christ. Why in the world would we be have any allegiance to anything else but Christ? Before it's eternally too late, by the way, there's a time. And the time is now. Think about salvation. Delight in salvation. But lastly, it's a salvation beyond angels' comprehension. You say, look at 12b. Things which the angels desire to look into. Please understand. Understand today. Angels have everything. Okay? I just get down there and I sing to my top of my voice and it sounds terrible. Okay? It don't sound good. They're always on tune. They never miss a note. They've never lost a battle. They have everything. Listen. Every note, everything's in tune. They're bright. They're radiant. They're powerful. They scare the mess out of anybody they come in contact with in the Scripture. If you see it, what are they always saying? Fear not. Fear not. Why? Because, ooh. They're brilliant and radiant and powerful. But they look from heaven longing to understand what you understand about salvation in Christ. Come on. Now think about it. It's what the Scripture's saying. Angels mean messengers. Messengers. I want you to know something. If I was God, I'd be glad that I'm not. If I was God, I think I would give my messengers the gospel. Angels show up every Sunday morning. Fear not. Preach the word. I guarantee you, churches would be a little fuller than what they are now, would they not? Would they not? He didn't choose that, folks, did he? He didn't choose that. You know why? Scripture says we were made in the image of God. Didn't say that about the angels. You were made in the image of God. And here's the sad thing about it. It's the truth is that we've tasted sin. They haven't. We've tasted sin, and we've tasted the salvation of Christ. And all they can do is long and scratch their head wondering what it's about. They don't even understand what it is to be saved. And God's gave that message to you, His image bearers, to go out, not the angels, to go out and proclaim the light in the life of Jesus Christ. Wow, that is a tremendous thing for us to think of. Not the angels, but us. Listen, Ephesians 3:10 and 11 says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Jesus Christ. In other words, we teach them about salvation. One day, we'll glorify God greater than the angels because we've been delivered from the sin of this world and we've received Christ as our personal Savior and we are His mouthpiece unto the glory of God. And one day, we will glorify Him in the presence of the angels. I want you to know something. This old voice might not sound like an angel now, but one day in the glories of heaven, I'll sing my praises amongst the angels about what He's done for me. He's delivered us. They don't understand. They're scratching their head trying to figure out what it's about. Ages ago, the angels were with Christ when He said, "Let there be." They were there when He created it all. They were on the mountain of Sinai when He gave the law to us. Can you imagine when they look and they say, "These are the creatures that You've created, Lord, that rebelled against You." And yet, God sends His very best Son, Christ, to this earth to die for those that rebel against You. That through Him, we could be restored again and made right. A message that the angels do not understand, but my friend, nothing else but the wisdom and power of God. That's all you can give glory to today. The wisdom and power of God. Peter is to this church, don't worry about your sufferings. It's going to, you know what? That sufferings are going to take you somewhere. It's going to take you somewhere. So why would we let people or situations or all these things get us down? Why would we do that? We don't have anything to be disappointed in. We have everything to be happy and content and joyful about. Don't let anything defeat you, my friend, child of God. Why? Christ has delivered you from the sin that was sending you to a place called hell, separated from God forever. But through His blood, and through that shed blood, and through His resurrection, we have overcome sin. And we have a home, and we have a place, and death, when it comes, will not touch us. Don't let anything get you down. Don't let your sin get you down. Why? Christ died for it. Come on! Christ died for your sin. Place it in His hand. I told my Sunday school class today, is the devil beating you up? Have you slipped and you're beating yourself up about something? Let me tell you what you do. Get up. Do the next thing right. Ask God to forgive you. And don't let Him be beating you to death in your ear and telling you how wrong you are. Why? Because Christ has died for that sin. And He can deliver you. Just get up and do the next thing right. Ask Him to forgive you. The Scripture says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's what? Faithful and just to do what? Forgive us of our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear Lord, if that don't light your fire, something's wrong. We are forgiven. One word, forgiven. Forgiven. We're headed to glory. Applications, and we'll be done. Linda, come and play. Listen, when was the last time you truly thought about your salvation? When was the last time you really thought about your salvation? Really contemplated on what Christ has done for you. It'll help you if you'll rehearse it daily. Number two, take time every day to thank the Lord for delivering you from your sin. See, when you think about your salvation, you every day you should thank the Lord. You should thank the Lord. Let me tell you, if you knew David before Christ, He'd be the last person you'd have up here preaching to you this morning. But in Jesus' name, I can stand here forgiven and cleansed from my sin of the past, of the present, and in the future. Praise God. Take time every day to thank Him for delivering you from your sin. Number three, what's keeping you from the joy that's meant for you? Stand to your feet. What are you suffering with? What's going on in your mind right now that you don't have joy over? What's keeping you from it? It's an understanding of who you are and whose you are. And in Christ, there's joy inexpressible and full of glory. Close your eyes before the Lord right now, please. I'm not going to carry along, and you know I don't, because I don't manipulate people. All I want to know is, do you have Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you were thinking about salvation? Did you go back to a time where God delivered you from your sin, and the Scripture says that all things became new, you were a new creation? Is the new creation in your life? If not, do you know that you have Christ? Do you know? It's not a walk in an aisle. It's not, it's going through emotion. It's a changed life in Jesus Christ. Do you need Jesus this morning? He's here. Come right now and receive Him. He's passing by and He's speaking to your heart. Does anybody need Jesus this morning? Is anybody struggling with something today that's taking your joy? Robbing you of that which God and Christ has died for? Give it to the Lord this morning. Lastly, thank Him for your salvation. Thank Him. Thank Him. Praise be unto the Lord and the glory that He deserves for what He's done in our lives. Thank You, Jesus, for what You've done. look here. Aren't you glad that Jesus saved you? Step outside of these doors and live that joy in a world that's looking for hope and people and real, something real. Step outside and live that and be the light, the salt that He's called us to be. Listen, pray for our Vacation Bible School. Take that. That's the number one thing that you can do, that prayer guide. Pray for our Vacation Bible School this week. Why? We get the privilege of planting the seed of the gospel and living Christ out between from youth to young children to adults. We have it all covered. Adult class is going to be great. Can I hear amen? It's going to be great. Listen, be a part this week of Vacation Bible School. You say, well, I didn't sign up. It don't matter. You can still come on down. Bring it. That's right. Bring it. Be a part of something bigger than ourselves, something eternal. Lee closes in prayer.